Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, A little while and you will not see me, and again in a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. You all have had those times in life where you are in the in-between stages. Going on over 2 years ago, my family and I moved out here from North Carolina. Everything was packed up in our house, put onto a truck, and we were in between places to live. Stayed in a hotel, stayed with relatives, stayed in a rental house, and now in our own place. And there was that awkward sort of in-between times. You have all experienced this in your own life. You've maybe been in between jobs, leaving one employer for a better job or a promotion of some kind, and you're in that awkward little stage of not what you used to be, but not where you're going. Maybe you've experienced some of the awkward in-between times in life, where something doesn't seem right with your health. And so you go to the doctor, and he prescribes a bunch of tests where they poke and prod you and put you in those blasted claustrophobic machines that rattle and hum. And then you're in that in-between time where you wait for the results. The doctor hasn't called yet. I wonder if I am truly ill, if something is very serious, or if everything is the same. You maybe have been in that awkward state of the in-between, where you've lost a dear husband or a wife or a child or grandchild, and you've heard about the wonders of heaven, as we did in Revelation today, and you long to see your loved one again in the joys of heaven, but yet you and I are stuck in the here and now. I love a bumper sticker that somebody showed me, and it's also something that I have put on the wall of my Facebook page from time to time. It's a simple little statement that says, I'm in that awkward stage between birth and death. It's called life. Jesus' disciples today were in that awkward stage. Jesus said to them some things in the upper room that were truly scary. In a little while you will see me, and in a little while you will see me no longer, he says. He's talking about his death, his betrayal, where he will be delivered over and given up for the sins of the world, crucified, dead, and placed into a tomb with a sealed rock enclosing him. Not seeing him anymore. You see me now, but in a little while you will see me no longer. And then he says, you will see me again. And in the midst of that odd sort of statement, these men who have followed Jesus for some 3.5 years, they're truly shocked. Jesus doesn't say to them, I am going to die tomorrow, and I will die, or I will rise 3 days later. He speaks to them in a way that is rather sort of hidden. A little while you will see me no longer, and a little while you will see me again. But all the while he tells them, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But the Spirit, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truth. And yet the disciples don't kick back and say, okay, whatever you say. This whole reading from John 16 today is nothing but a bunch of confusion. What does he mean by a little while we won't see him? And then a little while we'll see him again. You can almost see the fervor and the angst in the disciples. You can almost hear them saying, what does he mean because I'm going to the Father? The Father and I are one. What is this all about? They are about ready to be in that strange, awkward, in-between time between the Lord of life being with them, living with them, eating and drinking with them, raising the dead with them, healing the blind, giving sight to the blind, letting the lame leap for joy, and then he's going to be taken away. And there's going to be anguish. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be weeping and lamenting. There's going to be fear in the upper room for thought that they will be crucified as well. And the world around them will rejoice. The world around us rejoices. Rejoices in all of the things that we know from Scripture that are not true, that are not right. We live in a day and age where everything that is wrong is declared to us to be right, and everything that we know that is good and right from Scripture is declared to be wrong by the world. To believe in Jesus Christ, to say that he is risen from the dead, to believe that he is the only way, truth, and life, the only way to the Father, is considered downright wrong, bigoted, something that is narrow-minded by the world today. To confess that we all by nature are sinful and unclean is considered wrong. Who are you to tell me how to live my life? I will rejoice in how I want to do what I want to do with my own life, my own body, whatever else it may be. And who are you Christians to tell me otherwise? We live in a world full of death. The death of the unborn, the death of the aged freely, the death of Christians throughout the world, and yet people rejoice and stand up proudly for this death that is all around us. And meanwhile, we weep and we lament. Truly, truly, I say to you, says Jesus, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. We are in that awkward stage of life. Life heading toward death, our own death. We have began our life however many years ago. To me, almost 40 years. For you, however many. And there are those that have yet to even be born in our midst, to be brought into this vale of tears in the valley of the shadow of death. And you all have wept and you've lamented and you've been sorrowful, and yet everyone around you at times seems to be rejoicing and living it up. It's not fair, at times we may say. It's not fair that I must suffer while others are rejoicing. But hear the words of Paul, who can relate to us so well. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul knew about that strange, awkward, in-between time called life. He knew of suffering. His life was marked with suffering. He was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was rejected by his own people, expelled from the synagogues, antagonists and false teachers. There were congregational problems, health problems, you name it, Paul likely experienced it. So this was no little simple word that he's giving to us. It's not a little pat on the back or the head saying, there, it will all get better. Paul did not die a glorious death. He died in a Roman prison. Things never got better for Paul in this present life. And maybe we should remember that ourselves. Things may not get better for us. The Christian life and being a Christian is not about having all of the glorious things given to us right here and right now. It's never a message to be given that says everything will get better and successful and joyous for you here and now. If it does, then great. Thanks be to God. If the doctor comes back and says to you, there is no cancer, there is nothing wrong after the tests, great. Thanks be to God. If you get that new job or that new house in that in-between time that is a better place to live, a better job for more income, then thanks be to God. He does all things well. But if the opposite happens, remember what Paul said. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory to be revealed to us. The glory that we heard about in our second reading today. I love the book of Revelation. We've been studying it for months now. It's not this scary book that we often think of that frightens us or gives us nightmares. Listen again what John saw in Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. That's where we are right now, the first earth and the first heaven. And I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And did you hear what else it said? What God says to you. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. That is what we are headed to. Out of this vale of tears and this valley of the shadow of death. Out of this life full of lamenting, sorrow, and weeping. Out of us looking at ourselves and saying, I wish I could have done something different. I wish I could have done something better. I wish I wasn't so caught up in my sin. I wish I could see my loved one again. I wish that my health were getting better, but it's not. Jesus says in the midst of all of this, look at what it is that you have prepared for you. The joy of eternal life with God. The joy that cannot be taken away from you. We are in this awkward in-between stage called life. And it stinks at times. It's painful at times. It's full of suffering at times. But that is what it's like to live under the cross of Christ. If anyone would come after me, says Jesus, take up your cross and follow. Following his path of suffering, his path of being denied by others, his path of losing all that he had, so that you may be promised heaven. Heaven, which is the final destiny. The new heavens and the new earth, when Jesus comes again to judge both the living and the dead, and everything that is so terribly wrong in this life will be made right again. For just as Jesus died and rose again from the dead, so too all will rise again to see Jesus. And if there is unbelief, there will be condemnation. But if there is belief in Jesus and what it is that he has done for you out of his rich and abundant love, then there is the dwelling place of God for you. There he will wipe every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more, he says. And there will be no more mourning or crying or pain, no more MRIs, no more tax problems, no more in-between houses or jobs, no more saying farewell at a funeral to a loved one. For he who is seated on the throne has said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And it is written down for you. It is done. It is finished. You have the Lamb of God in your midst who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is your beginning. He is the one who walks with you through the awkward in-between stage called life. And he is your end as well. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. To the one who conquers, they will have the heritage of God, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. We are in that awkward in-between stage of life. We have asked all of the questions about what is God thinking, what is God doing, where in the world is God leaving me? We can't see him here and now. But we are promised that we will see him again. And just because you cannot see and touch Jesus now does not mean that he is not here. He sends the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to give to you all things that Jesus wishes to give to you. His presence, his joy, his forgiveness, his love, his body, and his blood. He can be heard in your ears this day that your sins are forgiven. He sends this forgiveness through his word and salvation into our ears. We simply can't see him for a little while here and now, but by faith we know and believe that he will bring us out of our graves to see him again on the last day. There may be joy in this life, but it will flee from you quickly. It'll evaporate and it may even turn to bitterness. There may be peace in this life now, but there will always be war and destruction. There may be laughter in this life, but as we all well know, laughter can turn quickly to weeping. And in a sense, we should weep and lament. We should weep over our sin. We should lament our sinful condition. We should cry over our broken friendships, our broken families, our broken society, and our broken lives. We should weep and cry over how we do not value what it is that God has given us in the church. But we should always pray that he would restore to us the joy of his salvation, that he would create in us clean hearts and renew us with a right spirit. You will have sorrow now, says Jesus. You will be in that awkward in-between stage. The disciples would have sorrow. They would lament deeply over the death of their Lord. You have sorrow and have lamented over yourselves, over the losses that you have experienced in life, over the fears that you have. But Jesus says today, take heart, I have overcome the world. You have the joy that is found in Revelation 21, the dwelling place of God with you here and now on that altar, the foretaste of the feast to come. We see dimly in this meal what those who have gone on before us see now fully. And as we continue on in this life, trudging along, we rejoice that we come around the Lamb's High Feast that we just sang about, where we rejoice in the fact that Christ is risen from the dead and so too shall you and me. You will have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one can take that joy from you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the